Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. Are you struggling with what makes a good pin on Pinterest? What types of images are okay? Can I use stock images? What is this visual search that I keep hearing about? If you've asked any of those questions, then today's show is for you. But first, I'm very excited to announce a new mini course I've created. I get asked all the time how I multicast Facebook Live and produce live shows for this podcast, as well as shows for clients like Social Media Examiner. Well, I decided to put all my tips, tricks, and hacks into a mini course. The course will actually launch the first week of November 2017, but I'm offering my podcast listeners a special pre-registration price of only $39.99. Now, this will be the cheapest this course will ever be, and because live video is always changing, this course will continue to be added to and updated. So if you want to get the special pre-access price of $39.99, then head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/live-video. That's manlypinteresttips.com/live-video. Well, I'm very excited to have Christy Hill with me on the show today. Christy is on a mission to help bloggers start and grow their online businesses. She knows that smart bloggers don't leave their blog success up to chance, they make a plan. Christy helps bloggers build WordPress blogs and use tools like Pinterest to grow their online presence. You can find out more about Christy at christyhill.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-E-Hill.com. I actually ran across Christy in an excellent Facebook group that we are both a part of called Pin Chat. She had some great insight, and I knew that I had to have her on the show after our online discussion. So let's jump right into my conversation with Christy Hill. Christy, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I'm excited to be here.
This is cool. So I actually ran across Christy in an excellent Facebook group that we're both part of called Pin Chat. And if you have any interest in Pinterest, you need to go check that out. And she actually seemed a lot smarter about all this visual stuff than I did. So I knew I had to have her on the show today. So Christy, Pinterest is all about visual searches, being in the news so much. So can you kind of give us an overview for maybe people who are just getting started on Pinterest, you know, what their visual search tools are?
Yeah, so Pinterest has a few different visual search tools, so we'll kind of just cover them. So first, there's actually like the visual search. So if you're on Pinterest and you click search, you can search with a lens and you can take a picture there. So, and it brings up an option to take a picture of whatever you see or whatever you have. So if your friend's wearing a pair of shoes and you love those shoes, you can take a picture. Pinterest is going to help you find those shoes.
Very cool.
So there's that. So you can use that in the search bar of Pinterest. And then there's inside pins, there's their own visual search. So if you go and open up a pin, in the top corner, there's a little icon, and Pinterest has changed what this icon looks like over the last couple months. But it's usually like a square. Sometimes it has a search button on it. Sometimes it doesn't. And if you click that, it allows you to inspect the image so you can dive into it. And Pinterest created this to help people find things when they didn't have the words to say, but they saw on Pinterest and they liked it. Or, for example, if you saw a pin about a room reveal and you really liked the chair in the back corner in that room reveal, you can click on that visual search button and zoom in on that chair, and Pinterest will help you find that chair otherwise so that you can then find that chair and purchase it yourself.
Very cool. Now, does that work both on mobile and on desktop?
That one works on desktop.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. And then the other one works on mobile.
Okay. Cool.
Tools, different platforms. And so those are two of the main tools that Visual Engine uses. Another one that plays a part in the visual recognition is instant ideas. So if you've noticed in your feed, you've seen that little circle and it says more. So if you click that, Pinterest is going to show you a mix of both pins that kind of match it, that visually match it. And then, you know, there's other things that go into that related pin category, but visually. And then the other visual tool they have is Shop This Look, Shop the Look. Mm-hmm. And that's rolled out for fashion, mostly in fashion and home decor right now. It hasn't rolled out on all platforms, but you'll see it on like fast. So some fashion pins, if it's applied, you'll see the bag and the shoes, and you could, there's this like little color icon. And if you click on it, it'll actually bring you up to purchase and you through shoppable pins there.
Very cool.
It's helping you find those exact products. So from Pinterest themselves, their definition about this like visual discovery, they said, you know, the visual discovery engineering team at Pinterest takes tasks with building a technology that helps people continue to find what they want on Pinterest. And so that technology understands the pins image to help people find things. So yeah, visual recognition is just helping you find things.
And it's pretty incredible how it works. I mean, it's you get into some super nerdy stuff if you go to like to the Pinterest engineering blog, and they are like, I'm like, whoa, I need a degree just even to read that first paragraph. So, but it's pretty
cool. Different language, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, but it's very cool how it works, and it's almost like magic sometimes the way that it works. I do want to bring up a comment my buddy Mike Alton. He goes, when we were talking about, you know, that you help bloggers plan, he goes, fail to plan, and you plan to fail, because Mike is an incredible blogger. So. So on that blogging note, you know, so what does this visual search really mean for like bloggers? I know you're deep into blogging. What does that mean for bloggers and content creators?
It means that we really have to think about what our pins look like and what we're putting inside of them, right? And what's actually showing up in the pin. Because if what's being in there, is it representing what we want to show and what we want people to find and search for? If there was no words, does it represent?
That's interesting. And that is a little bit different between, I've noticed, Instagram and Pinterest, because I know a lot of people are trying to do one thing and have it work in both places. But I've even noticed on like catalogs for like, you know, clothing, you know, like if there's a like Nordstrom's was selling sweaters, they're even cropping off the heads of people and just showing the sweater. And then on Instagram, they would show the whole thing. And I have heard that it's because on Pinterest, people are going there to dream and they want to see themselves in those clothes. And on Instagram, they're really just kind of watching and, you know, looking at the stars. And, you know, it's a whole different audience and different images work differently. And I just think that's fascinating. And I think that bloggers need to keep that in mind, depending on what platform they're putting their images to.
Yeah, and this is definitely depending on which niche you're into, or niche, however, you know.
Right.
Like a food blogger, for instance, Pinterest is really trying to market the food bloggers as far as like lens search goes. So you see, you have an ingredient, you take a picture and you find meals for it on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Well, if your food doesn't have any of those pictures in it, can Pinterest tell? Like if it's this like really zoomed out shot of the table, you know, can they tell that that's a chicken recipe?
Right.
So you need to think about it when you're taking your pictures too, when you're posting, like if people are going to search for, I don't know if they're actually going to search for chicken or not, like take a picture, but theoretically, you know, right. So you need to think about what's in your pictures there.
Gotcha. Well, Vanessa says, she's like me, she goes, love Pinterest engineering blog. Wish I could understand every aspect of it. I know it's kind of cool how they are really showing behind the scenes and how they're doing stuff. And you know, you're like, okay, how can I use this for my content? You know, and it's fun to get in there and look. I do want to bring up, because I was reading some of the stuff that Pinterest was putting out, and they mentioned when Pinterest says one of the most popular ways people find ideas on Pinterest is through related pins. You know, what are they meaning by that? And you mentioned how important it was that image really represents the content. You know, you mentioned the chicken recipe and making sure that, you know, that is a good representation of what you're pinning. So how does related pins really factor into that?
Okay, so related pins. So there's a few different places that related pins show up or kind of work. But first, so if you went and you clicked on a pin that you've recently saved, underneath it is related pins. And it's things that Pinterest has decided is related to this pin. And when you have a blog post that's brand new, Pinterest doesn't know anything about that pin yet. And so the first thing that they're going to use is visual recognition. They're going to categorize you with what looks like yours. Mm-hmm. And based on some of the things you've provided, but they know that that's what you can tell Pinterest it is, but that might not be what it actually is. So the first thing that they're going to use is visual recognition. So for instance, yesterday I pinned my friend from codedcreative.co. I pinned their article, and it's a brand new post because it went yesterday. And they do a really good job of like branding their pins, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And everything that was related to it, they have all their pins are like one color. So everything was that one color.
Oh, okay.
And it very much matched their pin. And in that blog, I have a blog post up on my post about Visual Engine. And I've been tracking this for quite a while. Every time I post a new pin, I'm like curious, what is Pinterest thinking I am? And I used to use like really abstract images. And I was like being grouped with iced tea and lemonade parties. Right. And, you know, I write about blogging tips and it didn't really match. But then over time, Pinterest is going to find out what it's about. The other place that related pins are going to be showing up as is with that, like that more button, like what is related to this one pin. So they're going to show up when you click that button. And then also those picked for you pins are kind of served based on that related to what you've been pinning before. Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, does this have anything to do with, I know it's on desktop, when you see a pin that you like, you can click that little circle and it'll give you more pins. Mm-hmm. Is that still tied into the related pins or is that something separate that they're using?
Now, this is like Christy's speculation, but I would assume it's both. It's going to be based on what you've already been pinning in relation to that thing. Mm-hmm. And because it's tailored, it's a tailored experience. And Pinterest is really big on that. Like you're getting a tailored experience when you're looking for results. It's for you, not for your friend, not for your neighbor, like for you. So tailored results, but then also based on how they've related pins with their search, their visual engine.
Very, very cool. And so if you're just joining us, I'm with Christy Hill and we're talking all about visual search on Pinterest, and we're going to get into some really cool stuff. So as we're talking, if you have any questions for Christy or me, let us know in the comments and we will bring those up on the screen and try to answer them the best we can. So we talked about related pins. I know this is a kind of a broad sweeping question, but what are some of your tips for creating pinnable pins on Pinterest? You mentioned that when you first started, you were kind of using some abstract things and you were kind of getting grouped with things that you really didn't want to be grouped with. So what is your strategies now to make, you know, the best pinnable pin that you can?
Okay. So first, I'm not a designer in any means. And my husband always cringes at my stuff. So I'll give you from the perspective of like the visual search, we'll kind of talk about creating pins for this visual search, but it's also always twofold, right? You want to create pins for the visual search engine, like what they want to see, but you also want clicks, or at least I do. Right. So you want to create images that people are going to click on. And so those are the kind of the two things that I think about when I'm creating images is like, what does Pinterest want to see? And what are their machines going to read? And to what's going to actually get people to see my pin in the feed and then click on it. So one of the things with the visual engine, with the visual recognition, my recommendation is if you have a great picture and you really want that to showcase, be careful not to cover up too much with overlays, because overlays are actually an overlay right now is being considered a quote. So if you have like text on over the whole thing, Pinterest visual recognition is recognizing it as a quote. And so if you're a food blogger and you have this recipe, or you're a craft blogger and you have this craft, if you covered most of it up with your text based, then it's harder for the engine to recognize it. So,
okay.
So my tip is I just pulled my thing out of my ear because I talked with my hands. So my tip is to be careful with your text overlays.
Right. So let me just kind of break that down a little bit. So text overlay, you've got, that's when you put like, you know, you have a picture of, okay, let's say we go back to the chicken recipe. So you have a picture of chicken soup, and this is a chicken soup recipe. So the text overlay would be like veggie chicken soup recipe in big letters. And so that's kind of confusing the visual search engine. And so would you recommend taking that text all the way off, or would you make it smaller, or what are your thoughts on that? What's the best way to optimize for that sort of
vegan? I wouldn't take it all the way off. I would just make sure that they both have their own like spots.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. You want to leave some white space where you can put your text, and then your chicken noodle soup still shines through.
So you're not saying take all text overlays off. You're just saying make sure it's okay.
If it works for your brand, then sure. But
okay.
If you need, you know, if people aren't going to know that's chicken noodle soup, then yeah, put it on there.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So the next thing for creating pinnable, I always tell people to look outside your niche for ideas. You know, look at different, because you want to stand out from them. So look at how people are creating graphics outside. So that's what I did. I really went, when I decided to rebrand and redo my graphics, I went and looked outside of my niche just to see what people were doing. I looked off Pinterest and got ideas. I like brought a prop. So my tech space, like how I got, was from this like book. Like this book a big inspiration for how I decided to do all of my stuff, like very solid color, and then like his text. So look for ideas outside Pinterest because you want to stand out from the rest of the pins in your niche, right? So that would be my other tip. And
that's a great tip because, I mean, and I tell people that all the time is like, you know, especially any visual marketing, go to the bookstore and look how they're laying out stuff on a magazine. Go, you know, when you're watching TV, because I hadn't watched TV for a long, I mean, the commercials for TV in a long time. And I sat down with my son and we were watching a sports show and I'm like, these are great. These are hilarious commercials. I haven't seen them. And because we had never, you know, we always fast forward with the DVR or whatever. And there's some great ideas that I got from there. And so I always tell clients and people who I talk with I use Evernote, but have some place where you can capture ideas and always write them down. My friend Mike Alton, who's here watching, he has a notebook where he'll just actually start blog posts or start blog titles or whatever. And he's always putting stuff in there. And he's the one who really taught me to curate everything, you know, whatever you see that you can maybe use or have an idea spark later, write that down so it doesn't go away. So,
yeah. So same thing with graphics. Yeah. I have two different graphics that I'm going to be rolling out and testing right now. And one is my own pictures that I've been taking. And then one is a version of a stock photo. And then the idea I got from that was actually from a student president campaign poster. And I saw that poster and I was like, that's it. That's how I'm going to do my stock photos. That's how I'm going to make them still colorful. But anyway, so
gotcha.
You find ideas everywhere.
On that note, how do you test? So you just mentioned you're going to roll out and test two different type of images. Mm-hmm. How do you test those? What's your strategy for split testing?
Now, Jeff, I know you do this a lot too, but I like to use UTMs to create campaigns so I can track in Google Analytics. And so I'll post, and I don't have a good set schedule on like timing, like posting the two different pins, but right. I try to post them to the same relevant boards and see which one performs better over the other and track that via Google Analytics.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So we talked about pinnable pins,
yeah,
and you gave some great tips on that. So where I actually, when we first started this conversation in Pin Chat, you were mentioning that you're trying to stay away from stock images on Pinterest. And that really intrigued me because I'm a horrible photographer, but I think I'm a pretty good stock photographer. And I was like, well, okay, that scares me. And I'm like, are you switching your strategy? So talk about that a little bit. You know, why did you make that comment about stock images and why were you concerned about using them on Pinterest?
Okay. So let's go back in time to like last year to maybe like, yeah, last year. So when Pinterest really started talking about this like visual engine, visual recognition, I was like, and I told you I'd already been tracking like how my pins were relating. And I was relating to weird things, but I was using, you know, free stock images a lot of, and my images were being related to whoever else was using those images. And I was like, oh man, on the onset, let's just add that on the onset, like when they first were pinned, they were being related to, and they were like random things, like we didn't connect. And I was like, well, I'm going to try and use my own images. I want to do that. So I was starting to steer away from using stock images for that purpose because I wanted to truly stand out because I was sick of looking for stock pictures myself. Right. And because of this, I was like, got all nerdy about this visual engine thing. So that was why I decided to start using my own pictures. And like you, I'm not a photographer and I've spent the last 9 months trying to learn how to be.
Right.
And which it has been fun. So it's been like this little, for my brand, but this little passion project. But I'm not saying that's like the end answer because luckily Pinterest recently introduced the taste graph. I'm going to roll us into this.
Okay, go right ahead.
Because luckily they introduced the taste graph and we know from the stuff we've read there that there's more than just how pins visually look that go into relating pins and grouping pins and serving them. So I probably still will use some stock images and I think you're still using stock images, but I'm also really excited to have my own.
Right. My thing is I try to, you know, and I'm you know, I started using the free ones too, because hello, they're free. But then I noticed everybody else was using them too. And there's a joke that I did. I was, when I spoke at Social Media Marketing World, I got up and talked about this, and I said, don't use all the free ones. And I said, because I don't want to see that guy with the banana holding his gun. Because that was one I would always see. There's this famous one. Yeah, holding the banana. And it's a great photo. And the funny thing is, my good friend, Ian Anderson Gray, he was like, I went to see his thing next, and he used that thing in his presentation, that image. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Ian. I just dogged you on mine talking about that image.
But it proved the point, though.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the thing was so I don't use the free ones anymore. Now, my favorite spot right now is Deposit Photos, is because they have such good images, and they have a good deal on credits that AppSumo does. But I change mine up enough. I think I'm okay. I rotate them. I add stuff in there. I try to put filters or whatever. So I think I'm pretty safe from what I've looked at when I've done the comparison. It's the other free ones that I have a problem with.
Yeah, that would be my suggestion when using stock pictures, is to change them up, like zoom in, mm-hmm. or you change the angle, add a color overlay, or, you know, just, I think we're going to be talking about pin style. Make them yours. Our friends at Tailwind do a really good job at using stock photos. First, their stock photo, over the last few months, they've really honed in on their style. And I haven't talked to them about it. I've just been observing. So first, their pins, all their stock photos, like, all match the same kind of vibe. Like, they're colorful and exciting, kind of. And they don't have anything to do with Pinterest or computers, but they're fun and catching, right? And then they use the same fonts. Not always in the same, but they have their same sans, and they have their same like handwriting font, and then they have their logo element somewhere in there, and it kind of all has the same kind of flow. So they've made it theirs. So that would be my recommendation for stock photos. Make it yours somehow.
Yeah, and that's with my stuff. I've always tried to make retro looking, because that's just what I like, and I know how to do it. And so that's why I would stuck with it, and it's worked for me. So we'll talk about that in brand stuff. Yeah, and it's different, and you know, people notice it. And so let's go back to this taste graph, because this is the one that, you know, you go into Pinterest engineering blog, and this is the one that where it's like, whoa, this is super nerdy right there. And so can you explain to like the layperson what the taste graph is and why it's kind of important?
Okay, so taste graph is Pinterest's way of sorting your tastes, of sorting your interests and people's interests and how it relates to each other on Pinterest. It's kind of their way of like connecting everything. Mm-hmm. Pinterest has a really great video on it, and it's pretty interesting to watch. There's all these like little dots popping up everywhere, and so that kind of helps you. But it's how Pinterest serves pins to an individual person, right? And it evolves over time. It evolves as you pin. So say the example in the video is someone was pinning about nursery baby colors that are neutral, right? And then the next day they're pinning about plants in the house. And then what does Pinterest show them? It shows them a picture of a baby room that has plants in it. But they never searched for that, right? So that's kind of like this taste graph, is taking your different interests and putting them together without you telling it to.
Very cool.
But it's like based on lots of different things that go into it, right? Because obviously it's for you, but it's also like linking different pins together. And so from the engineer blog, we were like, got a lot of awesome information, and it told us what goes into like relating pins and connecting pins to other things. And so they look at the pin text, obviously the image itself, but they look at the pin text associated with it, the title, the description, the comments, the board it's associated to, the category that it's on there, the link URL that it's going to, the image caption, and then obviously your meta title and meta description and keywords there.
Yeah, so I think lots of things
go into it.
Yeah, it's very cool. And one of the things I thought was genius, and this is why I think like some of the big guns like Nordstrom's and Target and all those people like Pinterest, especially for promoted pins and putting some ad money behind, is because Pinterest is one of the only places where, like, if I was getting, you know, my wife was getting married and she was pinning wedding dresses and all this stuff, and you know, they're going to show her more of those. And but when she stops because she's gotten married, then they quit showing her that stuff because of this taste graph. And I think that's kind of genius. And I know advertisers really like that, because that way they're not spending money on stuff they don't need to, you know, later on.
Targeting people that don't need to be targeted, because that annoys people, and it's wasted money for you. So twofold. And so, they're going to be using this taste graph. So obviously taste graph is how they use things for the platform, but it's also going to be beneficial for us as advertisers. And they're going to be rolling that out into promoted pins.
Right. And so the taste graph, and you mentioned these things, and I want to bring these up, but what's the importance of rich pins? And like, pretend we don't have a lot of Pinterest nerds here, and you know, they're trying to explain what these, like the rich pins, the meta descriptions you mentioned, and titles. You know, why is that so important that we keep doing that, or you get rich pins on your website if you don't have them already?
This is a great topic, and it's something I've been noticing in both the Pinterest Facebook groups. I've been noticing, so Kate's Simple Pin and then Pin Chat, everyone's been talking about, everything's disappearing in the feed. And everyone's kind of seeing different things right now. Some people are seeing rich pins still, and some people aren't. And like, well, what's the point of rich pins? And there is still definitely a point. And it goes back to that twofold thing I was talking about. And one is like to provide Pinterest the correct information about your pin. And two is to entice people to click and save your pin. Sorry, I talk really fast.
That's fine. You're good.
So rich pins are still very important, even if they're not going to show up in the feed. So Pinterest obviously wants to be this very visual engine. Visual machine, visual search. So they're taking those off. And that was one of those rumors that was started that is kind of coming true. And they're taking all that off to be visual. When someone clicks on that pin, that information is still going to show up there. And when someone clicks on the pin, they can leave, they can save it, or they can click. And you want to be able to entice them that they need that pin, that they need to save it for later, or they need to go and click on it. And you know, you're going to have to use more than just your image. And so your title is going to be able to help a lot with that. And so is your rich pin description, which is from your meta description. Gotcha. So use those to tell Pinterest what it's about, but also use those to entice people to do something with that pin.
So how does somebody get rich pins if they don't know what you're talking about? They're like, what are rich pins? This is so new to me. I don't know what you're talking about. So how can you
get
those?
That's a great question. I have a tutorial that I did a guest post alert for on simplepinmedia.com, and it's the complete guide to rich pins. So you can go and set up. It's pretty easy for WordPress. You just need the Yoast plugin or even Social Warfare plugin. Those will give you the trick, and it provides the data for you, and then you just need to insert that in every post. That should be a habit every blogger, every content creator needs. Make sure you're filling out your meta description and title for every post. And then you apply with Pinterest. So, and if you're Squarespace or Blogger, there's different methods, but also you can see those in the post.
And there's different types of rich pins too, like for recipes and like for articles and that kind of stuff as well, right?
Yep. And so recipe rich pins do need more metadata. So if you're with WordPress, you'll need a recipe plugin that supports metadata.
Gotcha.
And very cool. Article pins and buyable pins. So most programs that are like WooCommerce, or if you're using Shopify or something, they're already set up for buyable pins.
Cool. So you have a great post that I read on your website for creating pins for this visual recognition. And you mentioned in there that you're still experimenting kind of with your pin style. So what is a pin style, and why are you experimenting with it? And what's so important about that?
Well, just pin style is just much like how you present yourself in your clothes, right? It's fashion style, or it's how you're presenting your content. So your pin style is how you're presenting your content on Pinterest, and it's intentional or it's not intentional. It might be totally random, like my fashion, and some days I'm in sweatpants and a swag t-shirt. Some days I'm in business casual. Some days I'm, you know, heels and a dress. Or so your Pinterest style might be something like that, and mine was like that for a long time. I tried a whole bunch of different things and we won't show those. you know, so I tried creating my own graphics. I was like trying to get all creative in Illustrator, and that didn't work out very well. And I've tried stock, and I've tried different colors, and I've tried different fonts. But when it comes down to it, is your pin style really kind of connects to your brand style? And you want your pin style is going to be the colors of your fonts, the colors of your pictures, the picture lighting. Is it all the same? Is it not? Your branding that's on there, whether it's your logo or not. And I know I mentioned our friends at Tailwind and how they kind of have their pin style. They have a set style. You have that vintage. That's your set style for pin. And it helps you be recognized on Pinterest from people starting to recognize you. It also does help the visual search engine. So another blog I posted yesterday, or I pinned yesterday, was Elite Blog Academy. They have a very like unique brand pin style, and they, when you pin automatically, they relate to themselves. Like all the related pins are just all theirs because their style is so unique and it's the same So they've automatically done that. So if you're looking to like create your own pin style, like just try and make it, you want to find some common theme between them all. I'm not saying you have to use the exact same format all the time, but you want to find a common theme, and that's your pin style.
Very cool. So how do you go about, you know, and so, you know, I look at Peg Fitzpatrick and she's got a style that she has developed throughout there. Now she's got a little pink logo. And the funny thing is a lot of people are copying that.
Well, that's what happens when you get a good stylist, people copy it.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
And, but also like Rebecca Radice, and I use her for an example too, is because she started out pinning her stuff and she has orange, and most every pin there's some sort of orange that's her kind of breakout brand color.
And she started, has her like cartoon version too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that funny thing is, and we talked about when I had her on the show, was that, you know, she's testing all the time. And so she'll try it without that cartoon girl, you know, and then she tried it with a different, that girl with a different color hair. And I mean, she's testing everything, and you can see from her beginning pins to her ones that she's done, almost a timeline, and how she continues. She's never stops testing. She's always saying, okay, what's working now? What will this work? Should I do some more illustrator looking like pins? You know, and I think that's one of the things, you know, you can have your style, and hers are all, you can always tell they're Rebecca Radice pins, but they all fit in that general style. And that's the tough part, is finding that kind of general, you know, umbrella that you're under.
It is kind of hard. I always kind of go by like, what do I want my pinner, like my audience to feel when they see my pictures? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of helps put it all under the same umbrella. That's like my new approach, is like, how do I want them to feel when they see it? And that helps me kind of put them all the same. And I think there is actually danger in sticking with the same exact trend for like style for a long time. Because I think you and I both like testing things, and people change, and what's working might be working, but it might be able to work even better.
Right, exactly. And there's nothing wrong about having multiple pins that you're testing go back to the same content. I mean, I've done that before.
What's the worst? No one clicks on it? Like, no one was going to click on it if you didn't put it out there, right?
Right, exactly. So we've talked about stock photos a little bit and used in the past. Mm-hmm. And so is there anything that you do to test to make sure that they're as effective as they can be? Is there a certain test that you always put your pins up against to make sure they're performing the way you want them to?
My pins and photos are like the stock photos.
Or stock photos, yeah. Like if you're using stock photos.
I think we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I try to change them a little bit from the original. Mm-hmm. I've been steering away from some of the free ones just because they're everywhere. Like there's this, I should have planned to show you, but there's like this one free one of this girl sitting at a desk at a coffee shop vlogging. And I've seen like same with the banana thing. I've seen so many people like this month in my niche use that exact same image, and I used it. And anyway, so while it seeks to pay, it's worth investing. Or even that, work with a brand that creates your own stock images for you. So maybe they're not images you've taken yourself, but they create like a set that you can kind of rotate through and crop and change yourself. So that's another one. And then just the other last tip I give is to make your stock images kind of match all together. So look for ones that have some common theme in them. So I know like Kate Simple Pin, hers kind of tend to have some sort of red in them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I match, and there's some white space too. So just find matching stock photos.
What do you do? And this is going to throw you for a loop, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you ever experiment with style? Because I've seen a lot more, at least lately, I've seen a lot more longer pins that seem to, they're showing up more in the feed. I mean, we've always had them, but it seems like there's a lot more. Do you ever experiments with, I know we're kind of limited, we're limited on what we can show, but some people are really pushing the boundaries, it seems, on the length of their pin. Do you play with that ever?
I have been playing with that because there's like the traditional 2x3 ratio, right? 2x3 ratio. But it's been fun. So I have like multiple Pinterest accounts, so because I don't like to only overread about blogging tips. Correct. So I have like a personal one. And that account's really fun for me because I save everything. So I get to see everything. And that one's been fun to see what kind of pins have been coming up. And recently I have been seeing a lot of longer ones. And companies like utilizing the length, like not just like using words, but making their products really long and stand out. And they do stand out in the swarm of pins. I noticed that the longer ones stand out more so on desktop, for me at least, than they do on mobile. Because you have that C and it's like really apparent which one's really long. Whereas when you're scrolling, it's just that natural tendency to have the vertical through your phone. So definitely I say play with links. Don't just stick to the 2x3 ratio because it's the recommended.
Good.
And then with the link too, like there's kind of going back to that food blogger. So there's been like that style, that trend to do like the picture, the text, the picture. And so you play with that too, or maybe instead of doing the picture, you know, do a long picture instead. I think could be play with different things.
I think it's fun to mess with that kind of stuff, because then you can nerd out about things like that. That's working. So here's the other big one. We're going to, as we kind of wrap up, but I wanted to get your thoughts about it. Let's talk about the news on Pinterest they're now allowing hashtags in their descriptions. And I remember I've been telling people so long, don't do it, because Pinterest said not to do it. And now I have to go back and change all this content where I said to do that. So how are you going back and fixing a bunch of old pins, or, you know, kind of what is your strategy now that they're saying to use hashtags in your descriptions?
I'm going to be 100% honest, is I haven't decided yet how I'm going to go about hashtags. And I'm still kind of watching to see what's going on with them. But today I did notice when I logged into Pinterest and I clicked the trending, the top results in trending are hashtags that are trending. So Pinterest is trying to get people to use hashtags. They're trying to make them in the forefront. But there's still just so much we don't know. And so I guess I'll be testing. I'm not going to set a strategy yet. I'll be testing hashtags.
Well, it's interesting how many you can use, too. I mean, they were saying don't use more 20, than 20.
That's crazy.
I know. It's like, what?
They post that, I was like, why did you post that? Why? And there's going to be bloggers putting 20 hashtags because you said it was okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So
anyway, so we'll see. It'll be interesting. I think that it's really cool that hashtags are shown chronologically. But I don't know what that means. Does it mean original pin, or do repins count in that chronological? I'm still not sure. One thing I do know is I think that for now, when I'm pinning, I'll add hashtags, but I'm not going to be adding them into my descriptions yet. So we'll see. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm waiting and seeing.
Yeah, I'm going to test and see. I want to see if it makes any difference going back and adjusting to old pins or not, and then, you know, going forward, putting them on the newer ones. So,
you know, and anyway. if we talk about, like, because we've been talking about the visual recognition and the related pins and how Pinterest kind of groups things. Part of the problem that people are always sad about is that their new post can't take off, right? Mm-hmm. Because it takes a while for Pinterest to understand what that pin is about, and it takes a while for them to observe it. So hashtags give us a little bit of hope that you can have a new post take off if they do start working.
And I would say this, if you're starting to test them, I wouldn't just automatically do what your thing's working on Instagram and moving over to Pinterest. I would keep a whole separate set, even if it's just like in a spreadsheet somewhere, and track them that way, because I have a feeling they're not going to work the same way as Instagram is. And the ones that are popular on Instagram, I don't, you know, some of them may cross over, but I just don't think, I don't know. They're going to have their own kind of culture to the hashtags on Pinterest.
Yeah, I would say so too. And I've noticed, like, just in looking at the trending hashtags, that they were very more specific and not like cutesy made up hashtags.
Gotcha.
Like pumpkin pie was the hashtag instead of more keyword hashtag than these creative ones.
So, you know, this hashtag thing started as a rumor and now it's true. And so we were talking about this in PinChat as well. So how much stock should we put in Pinterest rumors? And, you know, when is it time to freak out? And when is it time, you know, how much stock? Because there's always stuff coming through. Oh, they're taking away my descriptions. Oh, now they're adding hashtags. I mean, and so that stuff, you know, seems to bubble up. And I know, since I do so much work in marketing, that marketers, I don't know why they hate change, because it's always changing every day. It's just nuts. Everything changes. And so what is your advice when you see some of these new rumors that come out?
It's hard, because rumors can come from everyone and from people that are like experts, right?
Right, exactly.
Like in the know. But they usually do, like, the hashtag one started because someone talked to someone at Pinterest who heard hashtags. Someone saw it tested. So usually when they're testing things and people are starting to see it being tested, it's probably going to roll out. So if you heard from someone who saw it on Pinterest being tested, it probably might roll out, unless it tanks. But I'm sure that they did test before then. Ooh, Pinterest rumors, they're easy to get started.
And we didn't even talk about deleting pins, which is a whole nother subject, which we could just go crazy on. And I saw you commenting on that. It's just...
I was playing Devil's Advocate with that one.
That was, I saw you kind of. We all have our own opinions, but we'll see until they come out with official. But Christy, thanks so much. You were a wealth of information. You just some of the stuff you really, you're making me go back and think, okay, how do I want to make sure that I have the right style and have some great things here? So I know that my audience loved hearing from you. So where can we find out more about you?
Yeah. Before I start any of my own Pinterest rumors, I'll just, you know, like when you're thinking of your visual recognition, like you don't always have to have it be relevant, you know, like go for the twofold, like create it for getting clicks and getting attention and create it for visual. So I'll end with that. Like think about both when you're creating your Pinterest graphics. And then you can find me at christyhill.com. And I didn't think about this, but it's hard to talk about my name. It starts with a K and ends in an IE. So christyhill.com. And then social is Hey Christy Hill.
Very, very cool. And I will put all that stuff in the show notes in the descriptions. And as always, thanks so much, Christy, for being here. And we'll see you next time at Manly Pinterest Tips, where we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you guys next time. Bye now.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.